We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Top of the hour, 8 o'clock. Going to be a hot Friday. Could be a wet weekend with a tropical storm rolling into the Gulf. So keep your eyes on the weather. Braves scheduled again tonight after a 4-0 shutout win over the Cardinals. Against the Cards again at Truist Park, second of four, at least at the moment on the schedule, Saturday and Sunday as well. Atlanta United, 2 o'clock kick Sunday afternoon, Mercedes-Benz Stadium against Philadelphia. Thank God the Braves aren't playing the Phillies. And, of course, Hawks tonight, Game 6, that's the big thing. Hopefully there is not a Game 7 on Sunday, but, boy, are we all packed in around here with all the sports that are going on. Hugh and I have been taking your calls discussing Hugh's apparent fandom here, for whatever reason. Game six tonight, will it be a closeout tonight or will there be a game seven? And for the Hawks to close it out tonight, besides Trey, who has to be that guy tonight for the Atlanta Hawks? Because, Hugh, it's been Trey, and at least through the playoffs, and somebody else every different night. One of the things I haven't seen here, I have kind of a little bit of a different spin. I need Clint Capela to have a Clint Capela game. He's played good defense. I mean, he's been okay, but I need him to have one of those 21 rebound Clint Capela games. Because I'm not sure I've really seen that kind of Clint Capela game. I know that Embiid's a different animal. I get it.
I tell you what, John, to your point, he's been fighting, though.
Yeah, I know.
He's been fighting. Like this is the thing. We're sitting here and we're talking about what they need to do and what we haven't seen. And guess what? They've still been winning. Like, that's the funny thing. Well, I need to see this, and they need to do that. I think to keep this thing simple, how about you not give us heart palpitations? How about you start off the way that you ended the last game? That helps. That would be great. That, to me, I'm gonna keep it real simple. That would be great. Then that way, you know, you wouldn't feel the way that you feel. You know, I wouldn't be labeled a hater because I'm pointing out like factual events that have happened. Like you've been in two games where, like, and I would venture to bet that the dude that was calling me a hater, John, when the game was going the way that it was going yesterday, probably checked out. Probably was like, oh man, the Hawks suck. The Hawks about to lose. Dude, there was not a person that I know that's a diehard that didn't feel that way when the game was going on. They jumped out to like a 20-point lead and was at one point 26. It was like 26 points. Come on, man. So for you to sit there and all of a sudden you feel like, you know, hey, I believe in this team. Man, come on, man. Come on, nobody that was a diehard. Hell, Abe didn't even believe that. He couldn't believe what he saw. And he watched the whole damn game.
Me too.
I was
in shock at the end of the game. That's why I said, you know, that's why I texted out, holy hell. Oh, I mean, how did they win this guy? Because, you know, even when they, I still don't know how they won that game. Big D's indicator, and he joins John and Hugh. All right, again, will there be a game seven? And if there isn't, who's got to be that man for the Hawks tonight besides Trey? Hey, Big D.
Hey, what's going on, guy? Appreciate you taking my call. Hey, Hugh, go ahead and get you some shirts going, man. Hugh, put the hate on it.
I might as well.
I don't know why that guy said that. But, you know, being a true to Atlanta guy, man, it's kind of hard to have that faith that, you know, Atlanta team is really going to do it. But I'm going to say this. We're just the others right now, which means we playing with house money.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're definitely going to close it out, and this is the reason why. We haven't had a four-quarter game yet. Since Nate took over this team, we've been consistent in playing and closing out games. And besides Trey, I just feel like not one person, but the team itself, Clint Capella, Bogey, Herter, Lemon Pepper Lou, Gallinari, everybody needs to play like they've been playing throughout this little winning streak, which means everybody got to do their job. And I think tonight the stars align. I think we play our first full four-quarter game against Philly, and I think we close it out, man. I think everybody does what they're supposed to do. And I just feel like after those two epic collapses, you know the game is more mental than physical a lot. So I just feel like Philly just can't come. I understand what Hugh's saying that, you know, all the flack that Ben's getting and this and that. It's just hard to mentally just think about it back. I'm going to say this real quick and I'll get off. When the Falcons were always losing those games in the fourth quarter, and we all say, oh, they've got a lead, but
I can do you one better. How about Big D? How about the Braves bullpen right now?
Fact.
Same thing.
That's what and you know that becomes mental. So
right.
I just feel like it's hard, no matter how talented Philly is, in the back of their minds, they're knowing, man, this team, no matter what we do, if we get up 25 or 30, we're probably going to lose this game. It just becomes mental. And I just feel like the Hawks going to play their first four-quarter game, and they're going to close these guys out.
Yeah, to that point, that's why I feel like a corner animal is going to do everything it can to survive. And like I said, you've taken Philly's best shot twice, and they haven't, you know, you're still standing. Dude, I just feel like now they're in desperation mode. So it everything's on the table. It's kind of like in the first game, John, during the fourth quarter when they found out that they can hack and play bully ball.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of woke up and was like, oh, hell, we can do this the whole game. And they've been doing it the whole game. I just feel like with the pressure being on them, they're going to try to take it to the next level. They're going to push the envelope a little bit because the heat up there is unreal. So that's why I feel like it's going to be one of those games where you can't go out there and play like you played the last two nights. You can't get down 20 some points and then expect to rally, because they're going to probably do something to try to stop that. So your best bet is to go out there and hit the ground running.
Will there be a game 7? And if not, and it's closeout tonight, who's got to be the guy besides Trey? Corey's in Griffin with John and Hugh. Hey, Corey.
Corey.
Hey, how y'all doing? Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure, man.
Good morning.
What I want to say is, it's over with. The Phillies, it's a done deal. Their mind is over. They done seen them come back two times in a row. It's a done deal, man. They done did everything they could to the Hawks, and we done fought back at them and got them our best punch, too. But who need to step up? I think the bench. It's just the whole bench need to step up again. Thank y'all for taking my call, and have a good day.
Have a great day.
Yeah, it's it's interesting, Hugh, because the Hawks led by 26 in the first half of Game 1. Philadelphia led by 26 in the second half of Game 5. And in both cases, Philadelphia couldn't win. Whether the Hawks were up 26 or down 26, Philadelphia still couldn't win the game. There's got to be something. We were just talking about the Braves bullpen, because I think the previous caller, Big D, was right. You know, the fourth quarter collapses. You know, you think, oh, my God, here it comes if you're the Falcons. And we see that as fans, okay? But there's something about it, I think it's got to be true of players, too, because – you know, you go back to last year when you had the 7-8-9 bullpen and the lockdown when you had Martin and Green and Melanson, and you were going, oh, this is over. And they thought everybody knew it was over and they were going to lock it out. And now nobody thinks it's over, even though Green and Martin and Smith are accomplished relievers. Everybody's got doubt in their mind. And so that has that doubt crept in with Doc and the 76ers to the point where, you know, they're not going to be able to finish this deal out here.
I don't know about doubt. I would say probably a lot of anger, you know, in the fact that it has happened the way that it's been happening. I would probably say desperation, you know, is going to be a motivating factor.
Hugh, real quick, I want to jump on what you're just saying there. Because when you were – as a football player, I feel like emotion can possibly help your game.
It does.
I feel like it could be the opposite in basketball, though.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I'm trying to like basketball is, you're right. Basketball is a different animal. It definitely is. And I don't know what it's like to be under pressure, free throws in a clutch game, anything like that. I don't know what that feels like. But I do know what it feels like to feel humiliated and want to go out there, and especially in a situation, I can't stress to you enough how what the Hawks did the other night never happens. Like, that never happens in a game. They started out on fire, and they wilted away in the fourth quarter. That never happens. They were down like 26 points and came back and won. That never happens. So now you're like, on the flip side of that, you're listening to all the negative press and all this other stuff, and you're listening to how people kill. That could be a motivating factor to drive you to go out there and play harder and play better. Now, with all of that being said, I don't think that it benefits anybody. Number one, closeout games are hard. They're hard. They're hard to close teams out. It's hard. I've heard basketball pundits, everybody said that. That's the truth. That's the truth. So with that being said, and your back's against the wall, I think they're going to come out swinging, and they're going to do everything. They're going to pull out all the stops tonight. They have to. They have to. Because you best believe, you think them chance for Ben Simmons to get his butt up out of Philadelphia allowed now. Imagine what happens if they go in there tonight, come in here tonight and lay a big old stinky egg. So you got to stay focused, man. You can't play like you can't have the same kind of games that you had the last two nights and expect to be winners. You can't do that. You can't expect to do that the whole series. I mean, it could possibly happen. I believe that with the way that they're playing, that anything is possible. But you can't rely on that every night. You just can't.
Key part of this game tonight is going to be early third quarter. If the Hawks come out of the halftime, let's just presume it's tight at halftime, because I think it will be. If the Hawks come out on fire early third quarter, suddenly are up 12, 13, 15 points or something, and Philadelphia starts pointing fingers, this thing might be over. You know, just because they'll get out of their heads and they'll start looking at each other, and it'll be like Nick Van Exel, 1-2-3 Cancun. I mean, that'll just be... the Doc will lose the team. Who knows? I'm going to vote my own poll here. I'm going to say I think Clint Capela is going to be that guy for the Hawks tonight. And I think that the Hawks do win and close them out tonight at State Farm Arena. Our coverage begins at 7 o'clock. The tip is at 7:30 with Steve Holman, the real voice of the Hawks, on the call. We'll talk to another voice of the Hawks, Bob Rathbun, around the corner. First, though, your chance to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
draft, D-R-A-F-T, draft, 272881. Normally this time of the year, it's the NBA draft right about now. Of course, it's delayed because the season's different. And normally the Hawks are all locked in on the lottery in the NBA draft, but not this year. Draft to 72881. It is the national signing bonus code word of the hour for $1,000. DRAFT draft to 72881. Message data rates may apply. Don't text and drive 929thegame.com for rules. Bob Rathbun around the corner. We'll talk to Rathbun and see what he has to say about this game tonight and this series as we continue with John and Hugh on game night for the Atlanta Hawks on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now back to more John and Hugh.
And you need to listen on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We know that there's still a lot of work to be done, Philadelphia is going to come back and play aggressive and hard. We have to, come with that same sense of urgency.
Coach Mack talking about taking a punch to the mouth, because that's exactly what everybody's expecting might try to happen tonight. Philadelphia's best options might include literally Hugh Douglas getting physical here with the Atlanta Hawks and trying to play bully ball, because everything else that they've tried seems to
– don't work. Yeah, they ain't been working, John. They've been playing nice. Right. I mean, it's phenomenal. I mean, it's phenomenal the way that the Hawks are playing. And it's one of those things, like you see it and you're just like, wow, I can't believe that happened. I mean, I really can't.
Bob Rathbun, one of the great voices of the Hawks, of course, Bally Sports. His take and what he sees as we welcome him into the program live on the WadeFord.com hotline. Wade Ford is Atlanta's Ford dealer. Hey, Bob.
Bob.
Good morning, guys. How are you all?
Bob, I'm still in shock and awe. Bob, have you ever seen anything like the Hawks comebacks that they've had? And if you have, where does it rank among the significant victories that in Hawks history?
No, we've never seen anything like this. I don't think we've seen it in Atlanta sports. For a playoff game, to do that on the road, I mean, it was incredible. And I think we got them on the run, guys. I really do. Every game I go in thinking, how are we going to do this? Because Philadelphia's length defensively is a problem. There's no two ways about it. But there's something different about this Hawks team. They just have a positive expectation that if they stay with it for 48 minutes, they are going to be fine. And that's so unlike teams in our past. We always have the, oh my, the sky is falling mentality. And I think this is helping change the fan base, actually. The crowds that I saw in the first two games against Philadelphia here came to the arena with positive expectations. Things weren't going well early, and they didn't get upset. They didn't, you know, they didn't boo. They were just waiting for something good to happen. And when it did, they went nuts. And I think we'll have that same type of crowd tonight, as opposed to what our brethren in Philadelphia are going through right now. I mean, Sports Talk Radio in Philly, they're ready to kill everybody. So it's just a different vibe, a different way of thinking. Old Hawks fan thinking, and old Hawks thinking was, well, we better win game six because there's no way we'll win game seven on the road. These guys don't think like that. They are ready, and I think Trey is, you know, the embodiment of all that. He's got the chip on his shoulder. He says, okay, we're the underdog. Let's go. I think it's great, and it's refreshing.
Bob Rathbun, voice of the Hawks on Bally Sports, joining us on the WaitFor.com hotline. I keep trying to put this in perspective and explaining this to people because I think the national media is missing something here. The Hawks are 7-3 in the playoffs. They've won four games on the road. They've come from behind back-to-back 18 points. They've been spit on. They've been cursed at. They've been shoved. They've been – everything has gone. And look, and I don't mean this in any disrespect to anybody else here, Bob. They're not playing in Denver and Portland. They're playing in New York and Philadelphia. And they have taken the brunt of the two toughest cities in America to play at. And they won four games being spat on and shoved and screamed at. And yet they've never backed down. That says that this team – so I think it's even deeper than what you're talking about. I think this team has something inside of it that is just – they got some street cred, in my opinion. Serious.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And the fact that they just carry themselves with this inner confidence that no one else seems to have. They don't get flustered. They don't get rattled. They just wait for somebody to get hot, and it's a good thing. And we're seeing the fruits of their feelings. The dogs are hungry here. We're feeling.
You got to have those dogs are going to eat tonight too.
A new ball. Yeah, I think they're Philly fans actually. How'd they get in this house? But they're just feeling better about themselves like no other Hawks team has in the past.
So, Bob, to you, how important is it for us to close this game out tonight?
How important is what, Hugh? I'm sorry?
They said even though the Hawks, we wanted that two wins, they had these two wins, how important is it for them to close this series out tonight?
Well, I think it's crucial. I think it's absolutely crucial that we just got to get somebody hot tonight in the overall. I think that's the big thing. I think one of the big keys to tonight's game is going to be our ability to hit some shots early. Basketball tells you just cannot get down 18-20 every night. We've got to come out and get some shots early.
We're talking to Bob Rathbun, who's got a dog who's chasing a squirrel or something. I have no idea, but it's kind of fun. I mean, Philadelphia is barking at each other, so I think it's kind of appropriate here because they're pointing fingers. Joel Embiid's not talking to the media. Ben Simmons is out here being, I mean, WIP was merciless on Simmons. They're posting wanted pictures and, you know, missing persons with Ben Simmons. I mean, Doc is defensive. You know, you're in these guys' heads. That's why I'm thinking if you can get out here tonight, and I just said, Bob, if you can get up 15 early in the third quarter or something and get on a little run, you may just put them away mentally. I mean, they may just, you know, they'll have nothing to lean on except to just, you know, start following you like crazy and trying to tackle you and sending you to the foul line nonstop.
There is no doubt. I look at the way they've played the fourth quarters of these games. I mean, they are a little fragile. And even a guy as great as Embiid, his fourth quarter numbers in the playoffs are atrocious. He's shooting 40%. He hasn't hit a three. He's a minus on the floor. And I think you're exactly right. I think they're in a mental state that something bad happens, they might just collapse.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. You know, we're talking about Game 6 tonight with the Hawks and the Sixers on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Bob Rathbun of Bally's talking to us about the team and about what he expects here. Hey, Bob, I'm kind of curious from your standpoint. I'm loathe to ask this because I don't want to be that guy to jump ahead here, but you saw Milwaukee take out Brooklyn last night. Is there a preference to you as to, should the Hawks win, who you'd rather face between Milwaukee and Brooklyn?
Oh, I'd rather face Brooklyn. With a wounded Harden and a wounded Kyrie Irving, I don't think there's any question which team I'd rather see. Milwaukee's got shooters. And, you know, we've had problems with Milwaukee. You know, going up against Bud has been tough. But I think we'd have an excellent chance against Brooklyn. We've already hung 140 on them during the regular season, and I think it would be an up-and-down shootout. They're not a particularly great defensive team, and I think the Hawks would have a much easier time scoring than they are against the Philadelphia 76ers, no doubt about it.
Bob Rathbun jumping into the program, talking Hawks and 76ers here. Has Trae Young started to get, in your opinion, we saw, you know, you and I were talking about no all-NBA team for 1, 2, or 3, no all-star team. Boy, that really looks really bad in the NBA now, doesn't it?
Especially with the game. Yeah, Ben Simmons is an all-star and Trae's not.
Right, yeah, exactly. Is he finally starting to – people are finally starting to say, oh, okay, all right. I mean, are you getting a sense that he's elevated sometimes it takes this for people to say, oh, okay, Duke can play.
And I think the big thing about it is winning. That's the key. He's playing this way, and he's leading his team to wins. That, to me, is the big thing. That's what the playoffs do for you. He's tougher, guys, I think, than 95% of the players in the NBA. At his size, to do what he's doing, what was the, you know, after game one, when they lit him up in the first half, what were we hearing? We were hearing, well, Ben Simmons, the great defender, is just going to lock down Trae. His size will just overwhelm Trae. Well, how's that working out?
Not so good.
They can't even keep Ben Simmons on the floor in the fourth quarter because of his foul shooting and his inability to stop Trae. Trae had 39. Two nights ago. So I think it is two things, John. I think it's not only the productivity, but it's the fact that he's leading the Hawks to victories at crucial times, like you talked about, on the road in these tough environments. That's what's garnering Trae the attention that he is so deserving. I think he's been phenomenal in these playoffs. If you had to pick one breakout star of these playoffs, I think it had to be Trae Young.
I agree. All right, Bob. Totally we look forward to Game 6 tonight. Thanks for taking a few minutes, and go feed your dog, dude.
Yeah, well, they were a little hungry, so take care of that. You know, you guys, you know, you get hangry, right?
Yeah, definitely get hangry. Yeah, okay. and probably act like the dogs are acting. So, yeah, I totally understand that.
I'm sorry about that. But
they'll be better behaved next time. No,
right.
Not a problem.
Right, thanks, Bob. Do appreciate it.
Okay, guys. See you all tonight.
Righty, Bob Rathbun, Atlanta Hawks broadcaster, as he joins us ahead of Game 6 tonight, Hawks and 76ers at State Farm Arena. He is going to be such an atmosphere tonight.
Hold up. Bob said he's going to see us tonight. Bob, I don't know if you're still listening, but not with them high-ass ticket prices. You won't see me tonight.
Yeah, we didn't get passes, Bob. It's not like they said, hey, you guys want free tickets?
You
guys want passes? Hey,
we'll get passes like we used to. You won't see me tonight, Bob. Won't be there.
You know, I mean, even I spent the $200 to come down to say, hey, can I say hi to Bob? No. Security would be like, no, you don't have a pass.
I'll be there in spirit. Okay. Ooh, you know who
I know?
Hey,
Bob.
Ryan Cameron got tickets. I'm going to go ahead and hit Ryan up. Ryan, I know Ryan got an extra ticket. Hit him up in like 30 minutes.
Countdown's on to pregame tonight, 7 o'clock, Sixers and Hawks on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's happening in Atlanta?
Check it out.
Hey, man, Mike Bell here from Dukes and Bell. And catch our take on the headlines every weekday at about 2:20. Get a fresh perspective on what's going on in the world right here on Dukes and Bell on 92.9 The Game.
Putter down behind the ball, strokes it to the hole, and it's in. Russell Henley posts 4 under par and leads the U.S. Open all by himself here in the midway mark of the first day.
U.S. Open underway, Torrey Pines, one of my favorite, one of my 3 favorite golf courses in the world, Torrey Pines.
You played there?
Oh, many times.
Okay, look at you, John. It's
a public course.
Okay.
And I spent all those years in San Diego. I played Torrey 20 times. And it's hard. Not easy, and, you know, beautiful, gorgeous, love it, love it, love it, love it, but it's hard, it's long, the rough is ridiculous and everything else. U.S. Open's underway. Will Haskett is a PGA Tour analyst, and he's joining us to fill us in on some of the stories around this major and what it means for us, because we're now counting down to, of course, the Tour Championship here in Atlanta at Eastlake in September, I think it's in August now, right? The FedEx Tour and that $20 million and all that kind of good stuff, and Will joins us on the WadeForward.com hotline. Hey, Will.
Well,
hi guys, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Well, Phil Mickelson had a tough outing. Do you think he can bounce back to make the cut?
No. Oh. Next question. No. You know, what we saw last month was incredible. I mean, it's incredible. I don't want to diminish how special that is and something we probably won't see again in our lifetime. But, you know, as much as I couldn't believe what we witnessed last month, it's the reason why you sort of expect what happens this week. You just can't spray it as much as he seems to spray it around and get in some tough spots and be relevant. I mean, even though, you know, you need to probably bomb it because of how long this golf course is, there's just not a lot in his sort of swashbuckling mentality that lends itself to being truly successful. And so it was the perfect storm. Everything came together for him at Kiowa, and he had a rough start early and kind of found a way to rally. So can he come back to make the cut? Sure. Like, I mean, he's capable. He's one of the best players of all time to be able to put a round on the board today that would get it done for him. But it just, you know, I thought at the beginning of the week it was way easier to say he's going to miss the cut than win the tournament. I actually think it was probably a better bet to say he was going to miss the cut than make the cut, just because of the strength of this field, the difficulty of this golf course, and just kind of where he is in his career and how his game sets up. So, yeah, it was going to be tough all week, and it showed tough yesterday for Phil.
The big story in golf is not necessarily just Phil Mickelson or a major or any of that stuff. It is a feud that is ongoing, because it continued again yesterday, between Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau, where Brooks and Bryson are both at each other, and there was more video bombing yesterday between the two of them, with DeChambeau video bombing a Brooks interview, and how they hate each other, and some fans wanted Will those two to be paired up on Thursday and Friday, and of course we both know that there's no chance that the stick in the mud USGA was about to let that happen. When they do play again, and at some point they will, either a tournament will put them together, or they'll just rise to the occasion or drop to the occasion where on the weekend they're paired together. Man, golf fans can't wait for this, because those two are the story right now, and boy, bickering is good, Will. It's good for business.
Yeah, it's good for business in terms of attention. I'm really happy for just learning to love and watch the game. Like, do you really have people who aren't golf fans up because they want to see what golf is all about, because they've heard the two yoked up dudes are going at it on social media? I guess it was really fun for me at the beginning, and I get being in the sport day in and day out, I feel like it's getting a little bit tired. And I knew they weren't getting it paired this week, because you have a lot of tradition. You have the reigning U.S. Open champion who always gets paired with the U.S. amateur champion. So was Brooks going to get shoehorned in with Bryson DeChambeau and Tyler Strafacci? Maybe, but the tournament is bigger than the story itself. Now, today we'll get the field for next week's Travelers Championship, and I believe both of those guys they're both going to be in the field next week. Then that's the tournament that's like, you know what? You want some eyeballs on your tournament? You put those guys together and you make a circus out of it.
I'm all for the circus.
You are? Okay. Yeah. John Rahm, you know, he has a COVID issue. How does that affect him as far as, you know, his money is concerned and his points for the end of the year standings?
He didn't get paid. And he was in line to win $1.6 million for winning that tournament. I was there. We were getting ready to interview him 2 weeks ago in Columbus. And then all of a sudden, we see what everybody else saw when he came off the green. So it officially goes down as a withdrawal, because that's what the protocols called for. Mm-hmm. It's not going to affect him, you know, his ability to make the FedEx Cup playoffs. He's already in. You know, his ability to make the Tour Championship there in Atlanta and East Lake. Look, he's one of the best players in the world, if not the best player in the world at this very moment. It just really took away from what was going to be a great story, because he was marching his way to that title. If anything, Hugh, I think it probably motivated him even more to play this week and to play a golf course that fits up perfectly for him. He shoots 2 under par late yesterday and gets done, which I think was important. He has to come back and finish his round first thing this morning. He's in at -2. He was my pick at the beginning of the week. There's a reason why he was the lowest guy in the odds boards. He's in perfect position to win this golf tournament, and I still think he's the favorite.
Will, final question for me has to do with Tiger. I know this, but you know, Tiger has had so much success on this course, and of course, obviously not playing. We're seeing pictures, first pictures of him, on crutches and whatnot, and it's got to be killing him not to be at a major, at an Open, and being particularly at this, you know, particular course at Torrey Pines, where he's had so much success in his career here. Do you anticipate Tiger getting healthy, and do you anticipate him playing again, or will we see him on the so-called Senior Tour, the Champions Tour? Will we see Tiger again, do you think?
We'll definitely see him. In what capacity will we see him? I don't know. His renaissance over the last couple of years was fueled so much by a rekindled love of camaraderie and sort of getting to know the younger generation of guys and getting out there and competing with them. And that's what sort of led to the resurgence that we saw, and why it was so magical and special to see Tiger come back and win that Masters, which was, you know, one of the greatest stories, and, you know, almost until Phil won this PGA Championship at 50. I mean, we've been gifted two of the greatest major championship victories in the history of the game in pretty close succession by the two most important players of the last 25 years. And that's pretty special. So, you know, I didn't think I'd see Tiger win again. I certainly didn't think I'd see him win a major again. So I'm never going to say never when it comes to Tiger Woods, but it was a debilitating injury. I think he will come back and compete. At what level will he be able to compete is a completely unknown, you know, commodity at this point in time. But yeah, I think he's fighting like hell to come back, because I think he was enjoying himself too much being out there with the guys. And I think he really needs to be out there with his fellow tour players to sort of stay mentally and physically healthy as well.
Well, we certainly hope for that too. Will, we look forward to, you know, the weekend here, Father's Day, U.S. Open, going to be a lot of fun at Torrey Pines. Thanks much.
And happy Father's Day if you're a father.
So Say what?
Go ahead.
I said Happy Father's Day if you are a father.
Oh, you as well. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Yeah, go Hawks. There you go. Will's on board there. I appreciate that. That's Will Haskett, PGA Tour analyst from La Jolla in San Diego. Got up really early to help us out and give us a little insight here. Yeah, I really hope that, I keep seeing more and more pictures of Tiger, which is a good thing, which means he's, more and more in the public. He's still on crutches. I was talking to my wife. I said, when he turns 50, because, Phil's winning on the senior tour now, or the champions tour, whatever you want to call it, and he's eligible for that senior tour. Boy, can you imagine the ratings of the senior tour when Tiger's playing on it, Tiger and Phil are playing on it? That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, a lot of people probably going to want to see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. And, me being the big Tiger fan, I really miss
it. Get you a pimento and cheese sandwich, John, and just have at it. Just
God,
be
pimento
all
pimento and cheese is – who came up
element.
With that stuff? Ugh, pimento cheese is terrible.
Oh, you don't like it? You don't like
no.
pimento and cheese? I thought you was a big fan.
No, I went to Augusta and had one because you had to have one, and I took a couple of bites.
So wait a minute,
where's the egg salad?
Wait a minute. You had to have one, so when you walked through the door, they said, hey,
yeah,
you know you got to eat.
Well, wait a second. It's sort of like, Hugh, when you go to the Derby, you got to have a mint julep, right?
No.
Yeah, you do. When you go to New Orleans, you got to have a hurricane.
No.
When in Rome, Hugh.
No.
Yeah. If I go to Philly, I'm going to have a cheesesteak.
No. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with that, but. Like, I don't have to have a pimento and cheese sandwich because I go to the Masters. I don't have to.
If I go to New York again, I'm going to buy cocaine on the street. When you're in the place that you have to do something, you just do it, right?
Ooh, John, boy, you are on one this morning. Go to break.
All right, game six tonight. Let's talk about it. We'll hear from Coach Mack around the corner. With John and Hugh ahead of the potential closeout game for the Atlanta Hawks on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.